Deontay, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
First of all, no surprise, really, Kevin Durant. I know that some people thought maybe LeBron James, but you look at Durant's numbers, and he seemed like a pretty worthy winner.
Yeah, it's hard to favor LeBron James when LeBron James is putting Kevin Durant out there as his own MVP. This was no surprise. I think LeBron got six of the 124 votes. I think it's 124, 125, or 120. LeBron got six first place votes, which isn't a bad thing. It's never a bad thing to vote LeBron James as an MVP. You can always argue for him winning, but probably just time for somebody else to get it. And Kevin Durant obviously had one of those all-time streaks with his scoring efforts and putting together 41 games of 25 points or more. So he was extremely impressive this year, and he was obviously deserving of the MVP.
He definitely put out outstanding numbers. I want to get an outsider outside of Canada and Toronto, where everybody's in love with the Raptors right now, and obviously they had a great run, came down to the final shot, which is what you'd like, I think, if you're the Raptors, that the game's in your hands. They put the hands put the ball in the hands of Kyle Lowry. I thought maybe they could have went with DeMar DeRozan, but they elected to go with Lowry in that instance. And he's now a free agent.
Yep.
Do you see a lot of other teams that would be bidding for a point guard like him in free agency?
I think they should. I don't know that they will. I mean, it's not like he wasn't available to teams before he came to Toronto. He had previous stops in Memphis and Houston where things didn't work out, and it was kind of promoted as if he had a sort of personality flaw, or as if he was, you know, like too passionate or came off a certain way, rubbed people the wrong way at times. And I think that was probably the only thing that even led to him coming to Toronto, if I'm going to be honest, because if you look at that Houston team with the problems that they had at point guard with Jeremy Lin not necessarily being a natural point guard, and Patrick Beverley coming in and pretty much having to take over that situation and having to save them from you know, Jeremy Lin, who's obviously a much better sixth man than he was a starting point guard. It would have been ideal for them if they had kept him, if they would have, you know, had Lowry in the backcourt, had a guy who can score and who can handle the ball and kind of let James Harden play off the ball. I think now that Dwayne Casey's being brought back, the single most important thing for Toronto is bringing Kyle Lowry back in the fold. Honestly, I consider him to be the all-star on that team, and our NBA writer, Sean Devaney, had a similar opinion, and he had Lowry in his all-stars instead of DeRozan.
Looking at that Toronto team, considering a lot of people thought when they traded Rudy Gay they were going to go for a lottery pick, and then all of a sudden they end up the number three seed. It was a great turnaround for them, and they were one of the best teams record-wise down the final 4 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Was this a one-year thing? Do you think the Raptors can improve next year, and if so, how?
I think so. Well, the core of their team is so young that it's hard to say that they won't improve to some extent. I mean, you have that experience of playing winning basketball, of guys being in pressure moments, and, you know, you had young players. You know, DeRozan is a relatively young guy. You had Terrence Ross making huge plays, and he's only a second-year guy. Valanciunas was really a problem for Kevin Garnett for much of that series, even though he kind of faded a little bit toward the end. So you have really young pieces that are playing solid basketball, and I don't see how they couldn't improve going forward, to be honest. I think, as we talked about, securing Kyle Lowry and having him come back next year is the most important thing as far as making sure that maturation process continues to build going forward.
Talking NBA with Deontay Prince from the Sporting News. Looking ahead in the regular season, Brooklyn gave Miami all sorts of problems, won all four games. But it's the playoffs, and it's a much different beast, and LeBron James is the best player in the Eastern Conference. It's not even close, in my opinion.
Right.
Is Brooklyn a good matchup, or is the regular season really mean nothing? And when you look at the Heat and how they play in the playoffs, that this might be over quick. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's tough to say that it means nothing, because I think I saw a stat that teams who sweep one team in the regular season have never lost to the team that they swept in a seven-game series. Hmm. So it's hard to say it means nothing. But the fact that these teams have so much history as far as with LeBron and Paul Pierce going back so far, you have to temper that to some extent. And it's obvious that Miami was sort of playing that that whole health game with Wade during the regular season. So some of their losses don't necessarily count against them as badly as you might think. So I still feel like Miami will win the series just because they have LeBron James, because they played that health game with Wade all season. And honestly, because the Nets have had trouble, you know, guarding Valanciunas, like what exactly are they going to do with Chris Bosh, who can step away and hit that corner three, and Kevin Garnett isn't chasing him. And Bosh is also so good at moving along the baseline. And I think LeBron is obviously going to do what he's going to do. He's obviously going to, you know, continue to average 30 points for the playoffs or something like that. And, you know, he leads the playoffs in scoring right now. But Chris Bosh is going to be a major factor in that series, as he was here in Charlotte. Even though Charlotte had a mobile guy, McRoberts, and Al Jefferson doesn't necessarily play, like, you know, outstanding defense, but he still can move around. And he can move around a lot more than Kevin Garnett can. And, you know, Mason Plumlee is obviously a guy who's athletic, but I don't think he has the experience to kind of slow down a Chris Bosh. But it's still a good matchup. It's as good as the matchups for them are going to get, honestly, with the Pacers playing as poorly as they have. That might be the best matchup that they see during the playoffs.
What were your thoughts on Mark Jackson getting the axe today after his team lost out in seven games to the Clippers? Yeah, he's, I think, the second-best record in the first three seasons ever in Golden State. Why'd he get fired, in your mind?
Right. In his first year, they won 20-some games. I think they won 47 the second year and 51 the third year. And it was the first time that the Warriors won 50 games since, I think, the 1993-94 season. So it makes you wonder, like, what was going on outside of basketball. And it's obvious that his kind of personality quirks or the way he handled business with front office and people on the staff in-house had more to do with his being dismissed than actual basketball and winning, because the players loved him. And, you know, he obviously put forth the what you want to see on the basketball court. I don't know. I don't know if it was about the front office having some sort of expectations that might not have matched what that team was actually capable of. I mean, I think that might have played into it as well. But as Sean Devaney, our NBA writer, reported through a source within the Warriors organization, Jackson just didn't have any allies within that team. So when the decision came, or, you know, when the discussion came about whether or not he was going to be fired, there was nobody to step up and say, well, let's calm down. Let's look at what he's done for us over the past 3 years, and let's look at how he's turned around the franchise. I think more so in that room with people who have voices that obviously mattered, and whether or not he was going to stay or not, there were mostly people who, you know, Jackson had kind of rubbed the wrong way in his time there.
Deontay, a few other quick ones. The L.A. Clippers, of course, everybody knows what happened with Sterling, and then that was a big issue. But you look at that team right now, they won game one pretty decisively over OKC. I don't see any weaknesses on that team. I could easily see them going all the way to the NBA championship, especially if they get by OKC. Who right now is your team that you like the best in the West?
In the West, who do I like? Well, I think I was picking the Thunder to go to the finals, honestly. I mean, that first game doesn't necessarily bode well for my prediction, but it's hard for me to imagine the Clippers beating them that handily going forward, and it's hard for me to imagine Chris Paul will hit 8 three-pointers again either. The Thunder obviously have to sort of change the way they guard screen roles. I think they were going under screens, and they were switching them, and they were leaving Chris Paul with big men on him, and he just pull up over the top of him. So they'll have to change that going forward. But I still think the Thunder have a chance. They, I mean, they have the MVP, as we talked about previously, and Russell Westbrook. I think the guys on TNT actually made a good point. Sometimes I don't agree with what they say, but last night they made a good point, and they said that Westbrook takes everything so personally. Like, if Chris Paul hits a three, he wants to come back and hit a three on him. And instead of, you know, taking it personally on offense, he should take it upon himself defensively to say, I'm not going to let Chris Paul hit that three. I think that would be a lot more beneficial for the Thunder going forward if he takes it upon himself with that athleticism to sort of corral Chris Paul. And if you do that, then you take off the head of that team, and they can't necessarily be Lob City without him.
That's a great point. Deontay, one final one. Going back to the Raptors, they didn't hesitate. Dwayne Casey gets a 3-year contract extension, which makes sense. I think well-deserving of that contract. You look in the East, and DeMar DeRozan and Lowry are, of course, other guys moving forward. What position do you feel they need to upgrade the most if they're going to be a team that can finally win a playoff series next year?
Well, I really like Amir Johnson, and I like Patterson. So I think they need to have just another big, not a power forward, but a center to help with Valanciunas. Because, obviously, we've seen he's a guy who can get in foul trouble pretty quickly. And when he goes out, then you have to play Amir bigger. You have to play Patterson bigger. So it would help them, I think, a lot to get a veteran big man and to help and to continue to build those wings. And, obviously, I think they should keep Vasquez, too.
Yeah.
They need to, you know, because I feel like he's played well enough at different points, like with the Grizzlies, to where he looked like a starting point guard. So I don't know that the perimeter is where they need to improve. I think that'll happen organically through just, you know, growth and experience. So, you know, having somebody to back up Valanciunas, I think that's probably the biggest thing.